Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ruth, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And what a blessing it is to see you today. You know, one of the things we want to emphasize and just want to make real clear is North Central is a church for everyone. Amen. I tell you what, every person, no matter where we live, we come from different neighborhoods, every race, every skin color, every person is welcome to be here. And we're so grateful because you know what? The gospel is what changes us. Amen. And we all need the gospel. And, you know, we've got different needs in our lives. We've got some are single, some are married, some want to be married, some have kids, some don't have kids. And yet we're here today because the gospel of Jesus Christ, what they just sang about, the cross of Jesus Christ, is what we need to emphasize. Paul said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we have church, if we don't talk about the cross and what Christ did on the cross, I think we've missed the mark. We need to make sure and emphasize that in some way. We are digging into a brand new series here, a brief series, Under God's Wings. I don't know if I have ever been as excited about an Old Testament book of the Bible as I am right now about talking about Ruth, because we have just come through our Easter celebration, then our 1 week later emphasis on how should we live, and then to see this example of a person who lived under the wings of God. Can I tell you something, Christian friend? I pray that each of us would live under the sovereign wings of Almighty God. That's exactly what we learn from the life of Ruth, and it's a very, very powerful Bible study. And the scripture we're going to look at today is Ruth chapter 1. And we're just going to cover that entire chapter together. And it really is entitled Ruth's Conversion. Now, Ruth was someone who was under the wings of God. In God's providence, God took care of Ruth, she was not a Jew. She was from Moab. She was a Moabitess. She was someone who was not in the Jewish race. And so it's an interesting story what happened. She trusted in the Lord. She was trusting in the hand of God. Now, you're in Ruth chapter 1. I want you to just turn one page over in your Bible, and I want you to circle what I believe is the key verse of Ruth, the book of Ruth. It's in chapter 2, verse 12. Ruth 2:12. Boaz, who eventually would become Ruth's husband back in Judah, said this to her, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Boaz recognized that she was under God's wings. She came under the wings of God. Now, if we're outside of the wings of God, that's not a good place to be. Let me just tell you, Job actually said this, "Who can prosper against the Lord?" Job, who can prosper against the Lord? Can I tell you this? You can buck the will of God in your life, and perhaps someone's in here with a big decision they've got to make. They're wrestling with something in their personal life, something that they know that God is calling them to do, but they're bucking that. They're not following the Lord's will. I can promise you this: you will not prosper doing that. You better heed what Job said. The obvious answer is no one can prosper against the Lord. In the Old Testament, God told His people in Deuteronomy, He said, "Look, if you don't follow My ways, there will be famine. You will not be able to grow crops. The Lord will not bless your herds." We see that all over the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Those verses show the great spiritual need among God's people. They were warned that the fields would not prosper, and the flocks would fail if the people did not honor the Lord and remove pagan corruption. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, congregation. The Lord will not bless that. And so he was telling them that in the Old Testament. And yet, the book of Ruth is cast in a period of time that we know as the period of the judges. The reason it's placed right after the book of Judges is because that's the timing of when all this stuff happened, about the 12th century BC. And God's people had come into the promised land, and they were told to drive out all pagan corruption. And yet they didn't do it. They embraced some of it, and because of that, the Lord chastised them, and then a judge would be raised up to preach. Well, in that period of Judges, there was this story that took place with Ruth. Because the people did not obey the Lord, they experienced famine. You and I have a picture of that experience here in the book of Ruth. But we also have the experience of seeing that God can and does give his grace to his people in spite of the difficulties of life. We come into difficult times, and even when we're in difficult times, the Lord can bless us in a very special way. Israel was in a famine. Now, we really don't know who wrote the book of Ruth, okay? We're not sure who actually penned it. The traditional position is that Samuel wrote it. Samuel was a prophet right at this period of time when David came into power, and about the time that David was reigning is when many believe that the book of Ruth was written. It took place, the events of Ruth took place a few hundred years before David's life, but many believe Samuel is the one that wrote it. Here are some themes for the book. It shows that the Gentiles could believe in the true God. Ruth was a Gentile, okay? So it shows that the Gentiles could believe in the true God. By the way, it is the only book named for a non-Israelite, the book of Ruth. One, I believe, of only two, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure, one of only two named for women. And Ruth was not a Jew. She was not an Israelite. And so that's an interesting truth about this book. It also showed that Gentile blood could be in the lineage of the Messiah. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then the third thing is that Boaz, who ends up marrying Ruth later in the story, you got to keep coming back to get the whole thing. We're going to take a chapter at least at a time, and we'll get it in a few messages here. But Boaz is really a picture of Christ as a redeemer. That's what Boaz did for Ruth. And then here is ultimately one of the great lessons of Ruth, and that is this: the sovereignty of God over God's people. God is sovereign even in the midst of difficulty. Hey, if you're like me, look at me, folks. If you're like me, you're either, as one pastor said, you've either just come out of trouble, you're in the middle of trouble, or you're headed to trouble. That's the story of our lives. And here's the message I want you to get today. You stay under the wings of Almighty God for your refuge, and the Lord is going to take care of you. That is the theme of this book, and I'm telling you, I need to hear that in my own personal life right now. The first chapter is about Ruth's conversion. Now, I want you to follow along in your copy, and let me read from my copy. This is Ruth 1:1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there you have it, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. It was a several days journey to Moab, probably about 75 miles to Moab, okay? Verse 2, the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Epaphrites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Verse 5, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in his house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am old. I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Orpah went back to Moab, all right? And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Verse 16 is one of the most familiar verses of Scripture in the book of Ruth. Verse 16, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. You find that passage in a lot of wedding ceremonies because of the loyalty in a family that is begun. And so this was Ruth's confession to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Verse 19, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitterness. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. I want you to write down three things in the little listening guide, hopefully that'll help you organize this first chapter. The first thing, when you think about Ruth's conversion, number one, Ruth's circumstances. What happened? Well, Elimelech took Naomi and his two boys to Moab because of a famine. And while they were there, Elimelech died. So now here's Naomi left with her two sons. And so her two sons were there, and they took wives, Orpah and Ruth. And so then the two boys died. That's the circumstances that Ruth finds herself in. It's really difficult days. They were difficult days in Israel, difficult days in Judah. Now, they were from Bethlehem, and they moved to Moab. There were difficult days in Judah, in Bethlehem. It's amazing how, in the midst of difficult days, God is working. Folks, can I tell you this? There's pressure and difficulty most days in the world. Amen? And yet the Lord gives us a ray of hope in this book of the Bible when we talk about Ruth. Was it easy for Ruth? No. Was it easy for Naomi? No. They were very, very difficult days. And I think about, in the midst of all the tension in our world, the tension in our nation. I think about the difficulty of getting the gospel to the world. Can I tell you this? God is at work in the world, folks, and God's sovereignty is superintending over your life if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not see it all, but it's happening. Her circumstances were very, very interesting in the sense that she lost her husband, and it was a very, very difficult time, and yet the Lord was after her. They went to dwell in Moab. Now, the Moabites were descendants of Lot from his incestuous union with his firstborn daughter. You find that in Genesis chapter 19. They were one of the Jews' enemies because of the way they treated Israel during their pilgrim journey from Egypt to Canaan. You find that in Deuteronomy 23. During the time of the judges, Moab had invaded Israel and ruled over the people for 18 years. There was all kinds of difficulty that Moab had caused, and many of the commentators question Elimelech for even going to Moab. In other words, they should not have necessarily even gone to Moab in the first place, and yet they find themselves there. So in the midst of that circumstance, this is how God begins to work in Ruth's life. We've got to ask ourselves the question, what is God teaching me? The book of Romans says it this way, for we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So God is at work in Ruth's life, even as we look at the first five verses and we realize a difficult circumstances that she faced. Here's number two, Ruth's confession. What is she going to do? Now, Naomi heard that the famine was over in Judah, and she said, "Lay, we got to go back." Why did Naomi want Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab? She said, "Look, I don't have any more sons," because in a typical situation in the Old Testament, if she had more sons, those women could have taken them as husbands, and they could have bore children and all of that, but she had no more sons. So she was saying to them, look, you ought to stay here in your own country. Well, do you know that when Moses was in a far country, he said to his in-laws, I want you to go to the promised land with me. In Numbers chapter 10, here's what Moses said to his in-laws. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, here's what he said, we are setting out for the place for which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. But Naomi didn't do that. Some believe that Naomi, by taking her daughter-in-laws with her back to Judah, would have been a reminder to everyone that her and Elimelech really didn't follow God's perfect plan in going to Moab. That was a wicked, wicked nation that they went to. To Naomi, the daughters-in-law may have been a reminder to everyone that they ran from their circumstances. But she tried to get them to return, and Orpah actually went back. Orpah started out, and Naomi said, Orpah, said to the girls, you need to go back. And Orpah actually did that and kissed Naomi and then went back. But then Ruth gives her famous quote. And her famous quote was, entreat me not to leave thee or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And then she says this, and your God, my God. That was her confession of her faith in God. And it's demonstrated in our key verse in chapter 2, verse 12, when Boaz said, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So we see that Ruth had an experience with the God of Israel. She was not a Jew, and yet she did. She had that experience. Now, can I say this to you? Everything was against Ruth, her background. Ruth was from Moab. In Moab, they worshiped Chemosh. And at one time, the king of Moab was losing a battle. And When in Moab, they would actually sacrifice their children to the god Chemosh. And so at one time later in history, there was a Moabite king who was losing a battle, and he took his oldest son, the heir, to the throne, and he sacrificed him in order to get his god's attention. This was the kind of background that Ruth had, and that was against her. That was a nation of human sacrifice, of immorality. And it was just a bad background. You know, you may be here, you may think, you know, folks that have Jesus Christ, you know, they're always raised in the church. They grew up knowing the things of the Bible. Can I tell you this? It does not matter what your background. Jesus Christ takes you just the way you are. Hey, let me tell you this. I know myself, and before I came to know Jesus Christ, I can tell you this. Just let me say it this way. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's one thing that we all have in common in this room right here today. We're all sinners. God is perfect, and we have not measured up. You may think, well, my background is it's really be awkward for me to follow Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? No, it wouldn't. You'd be following in line with all of us. Because of sin, we needed the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything was against her background. Could I tell you this? Ruth could have been tempted with bitterness herself. I mean, think about it. She married this Jewish boy who had come from Judah, and all of a sudden he's dead. All of a sudden her brother-in-law's dead. All of a sudden her father-in-law's dead. They have no more heirs, and she is a widow. And she could be saying to herself, you know what? Man, if that means, if following the God of the Jews yields this, boy, what an awful God that is. And she could have been tempted to have been bitter. All these people were dead in her life, and it would have been very, very easy for her to do that. The other thing going against her was her own mother-in-law trying to talk her into staying in Moab. Her own mother-in-law was saying, no, you go back. Doesn't make any sense. One scholar said, doesn't make any sense for Naomi, who knew the truth that Jehovah was God, for her to say to her daughter-in-law, you go back to your God. You go back to your people. Doesn't make any sense. And yet that's what Naomi was doing. Can I tell you this? No matter what your background, God loves you, and God will take you just the way you are. One of the amazing themes of this is that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Ruth was in the lineage. Are you hearing me? Ruth was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for her to have her background being in the lineage of the Messiah is an amazing thing. As a matter of fact, there are five women named in Matthew chapter 4 who are in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and there are four of them who have very questionable credentials. Okay? Tamar is listed there. She committed incest with her father-in-law in Genesis 38. Rahab was a Gentile harlot in Joshua 2:5. Ruth was an outcast Gentile Moabitess. She's in there. We're preaching about her. And the wife of Uriah was an adulteress. How did they ever become a part of the family of the Messiah? I'll tell you how. Through the sovereign grace and mercy of Almighty God. The Bible says that God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Theologians and scholars believe this. God allowed those people, listen to me, folks, God allowed those people in the lineage of Jesus Christ to communicate to guys like me and to communicate to people like you that no matter what your background, Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ can use you. Jesus Christ, there are not two tiers. There are not two or three tiers of believers. We used to say it this way when I was growing up. The preachers used to say, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You ever heard that? The ground is level. They're not the super saints, and they're not those that just, you know, that really don't deserve it, but the Lord in his mercy. Can I tell you this? We all need his mercy. And theologians believe that they put these people like Ruth in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ to make that commitment. So we see that she made a confession in her conversion. And folks, you need to do that. If you've never done that, you need to confess that your faith is in God. All right, the last thing, Ruth's contentment. In verses 20 through 22, we find that Naomi was really not content. In verse 19, at the very end of that verse, it says, "Is this Naomi?" The ladies were all stirred up. They hadn't seen Naomi in 10 years. By the way, at the beginning of the chapter, it says that they went to Moab to sojourn. Just a little side point. That word means that was a temporary trip. But how long did they stay, the Bible says? 10 years. That was a long temporary trip. And so when they hadn't seen Naomi in 10 years, and when she came back, she looked different. It's like going back to your 50th or your 40th or your 30th high school reunion. You look a little different than you looked back when they remembered you. And so anyway, they said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi had become bitter. Life's trials, folks, look at me. Life's trials either make us better or they make us bitter. I used to have a guy who used to tell me all the time, and he said, "You know what? I've learned this." He said, "As I get older," he said, "I've seen a lot of people get older." He said, "As I get older, I want to get better. I don't want to get bitter." Sometimes we can get bitter because life's knocks on our life, life's difficulties, life's pressures. And this is what happened to Naomi. If you look at our passage in verse 20, she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," that means bitter or bitterness, "for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So we see that she ended up tempted with bitterness. And yet, can I tell you about Naomi's contentment? I mean, Ruth's contentment. We don't find anything about that here with Ruth. Ruth was under the wings of God, as chapter 2, verse 12 says. Can I say this to you? In the midst of your difficulty, could you put your trust in the God who is working in you? Could you trust in the Lord and say, "I know that even though this is difficult, the Lord is working all things for my good"? Naomi said, "God dealt bitterly with me. God testified against me." I meant to bring my little prop with me. I forgot to bring it in here, but I want to tell you this story. I saw Dr. Adrian Rogers do this one time. He had a glass of water. Nobody in here has a glass of water, do they? All right, that's okay. Here we go, right here. Can I have that? Take one more sip. Okay. All right, here's a glass of water. Chad, stand up right here. I want you to shake my arm. Get over here so I don't get on the chairs, man. I want you to shake my arm. Shake my arm. No, I mean just enough. Okay. Thank you. He said, like, really shake it. No, I don't want it all over me. I don't want a bath, okay? No, but he shook my arm and water came out. Okay, so now I want to ask Chad a question. Chad, why did that water come out of there? Yeah, that's the right answer. He said, "Because I shook your arm." That's the right answer. But can I tell you this? I want to give you a whole new perspective on that illustration. Why did water come out of that cup? Because water was what was in the cup. If milk had been in the cup, what would have come out? Can I tell you this? In life, in your difficulties, and folks, can I tell you, I don't have time to tell you, I want to say to you that in my own life and in the lives of those I know and love and in your lives as I see it in our congregation, there's pressure, there's difficulty. But here's the question. When the world shakes us, what's going to come out? If we allow bitterness to be in the cup, then every time we're shook up. You see, Naomi and Ruth went through the same circumstances. And Naomi came back. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitterness. I'm just so bitter and God's turned his back on me. And Ruth was just under the wings of Almighty God. May I submit to you that all of us are under pressure, face difficulty, dealing with tragedy and hurt and all kinds of things. And you're gonna be shaken. But my question is, what's gonna come out? So this book tells us about a person who allowed God to move. And I just want to say to you, there were some blessings that Naomi had that she didn't recognize. You know what she had? She had life. You know what she had? She had Ruth. Naomi did. She had Ruth. Number three, she had Jehovah. She had God. And can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? You have the Lord today. And I want to encourage you. Alexander White preached in Edinburgh, and Dr. Wiersbe in his commentary tells this story. He used to always preach to the congregation that the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings, and he was right. Now, Naomi was about to make a new beginning for God and with God, and it's never too late to begin again. It's never too late to turn your life over to the Lord and to realize, you know what, I'm not going to let the world make me bitter. I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, put Jesus inside this cup, and when the world shakes me, let Jesus spill out. And I am going to determine to be under the wings of God, under God's wings as a refuge for my life. It's the only way to live. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.